As we get ready for the message today, again, speaking about peace, a little passage of scripture that comes to mind out of our Christmas story. You know the story of Joseph. I'll pick up right midstream. You know, the Joseph is said to be a good man, but there was a complication in his engagement with Mary, and now she was found to be pregnant. And after considering this, it says that Joseph decided that he was going to quietly divorce her so as not to expose her to public disgrace. But an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, but take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Story goes on, as you know, that Joseph does exactly as he was told. None of his circumstances changed, and yet the panic and the fear and the indecision that he was wrestling with before was all changed. His circumstances didn't, but something of God's peace got a hold of him when he heard those words, "He will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And we will enjoy this to come back to the rest Christmas. Of the message.
It means many different things to many different people. But if you condense the many meanings of Christmas down to just one simple truth, you'll always end up with four words. Over and over and over again, four words. God is with us. The Holy God of Israel, wrapped warmly in humanity, is crying real tears in a real city with real parents who are trying their best to take it all in. God is with us. He's on our planet, on our countryside, in our manger. Emmanuel, the very name the angel speaks, is now given to Jesus because God is with us. Fast forward 2,000 years. The four words that changed history can now change us. Those four words are the only words that can bring meaning to the deepest places of our hearts. For the woman whose husband walked out on her and who continually struggles to pick up the pieces. For the elderly couple who can no longer care independently for themselves and who must now rely on the care of others. For the man who watches as all of his friends get married off and who painfully wonders if there's any woman out there who will ever take an interest in him. For the person who is seeking truth and looking hard at Jesus as a possibility. You are not alone. You never have been, and you never will be. Because God in Christ wrapped himself in human flesh, stepped out of eternity and into time, and chose a cave in Bethlehem to communicate one simple, abiding truth. God is with us. And those four words have the power and the beauty to change every waking moment.
Yeah, you can applaud that. That's okay. You know, that is the truth that is at the core of this season that we celebrate. And that is the truth that's at the core of these gifts that Christ brings to us. And that's at the core of what we're going to be talking about today. This elusive gift called peace that so oftentimes we don't know how do we get it. It seems like it's always going to be beyond our grasp. Or if we happen to stumble upon it for a time, how do we hold on to it? Because some circumstance in life is going to happen. It always does. Life continues to happen. And as it does, that peace that we thought we got because finally things were going our way, maybe finally things were within our grasp, maybe finally things seemed to be working the way we expected because they were in our control, all of a sudden something happens in life and it's all thrown out the window again. And it seems that as it goes out the window, so too goes our peace. We want to talk a little bit today just about what this gift is about. this gift that Joseph seemed to just to embrace from the moment he heard those words, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We want to think about these words that the angels, when they proclaimed to the shepherds, that this is what was now arriving with the birth of this Christ child. It is in Luke 2. Yeah, right there in the Christmas story. We're almost getting there, folks. That the angels proclaim glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. What? Peace to those on whom his favor rests. You see, the angels got it as well. They understood that as they were telling the shepherds what is now arrived, not only can we think in the big terms of salvation and Messiah and all of that, but along with all of that comes this gift, peace, on whom God's favor rests. That is a key passage here for us to understand. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us as we live life? Does it mean that if we don't feel peace, that God's favor is not resting on us? Or can we recognize that maybe somehow that it's we who are missing out on something that God desires for us to have because his grace, his favor has been extended to all of us? Peace is one of those things that all of us want, that we really don't know how to get, and if we do get it, we don't really have much hope of retaining it. Peace becomes a big piece of the, okay, two different spellings there, I get it, a big part of the gospel narrative, that Jesus spoke of it often, talking about how that is that the world often attributes or goes after peace. And though he didn't go into specifics what that means, I think you and I understand that the way the world gives us peace, it says that this is how you can finally have peace when you have arrived, when you've got it all, when you somehow cannot have to be worried about anything else around you. Then we can have this kind of peace and quiet of life that says it's all good, that when all your relationships are in order, when all of your hopes and dreams are still in line to be fulfilled, when there's no sense of fear or anxiety because of what might could be down the future, and there's no sense of dread or grief because of what has happened in the past, then we get a chance to say in that moment, right there, we are able to rest in peace. That's how the world gives it. You watch the commercials on TV, they're always peddling a sense of satisfaction, a sense of peace. All you've got to do is get whatever product they do and wash your hair with it, drink it, whatever it is that is offered to you. If you do that, somehow you're going to attain this place of finally being at rest, of being peaceful because you finally have arrived. But in John 14, Jesus said, the peace that I bring is not like that of the world. Of course, he didn't have advertisers and TV commercials blaring all around. He didn't see the scrolling things on the internet or the offers that are there for us through the social media. But he said, the peace that I leave with you, my peace that I give to you, I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. So what type of peace is Jesus talking about? We understand that yearn for peace, whether it be world peace or peace on the streets or peace within our families or our relationships. What is it that Jesus is talking about? He says it's not like the world gives. He offers something that is going to be radically different. And yet comes down to this is what it means for us. I think Jesus is getting after something here, that he's talking about the same peace that the angels proclaimed. The same peace that Joseph heard the angel speak to him. The sense of being able to live in the midst of life in this simple reality that God is with us. I'm very humbly going to step into these next few lines because I don't want to pretend that I understand what goes on. But D, coming through what you've come through, in facing the unknown that you really don't yet know, my prayer for you is that you have peace because you will never lose sight of the fact that God is with you. And in that simple truth, God's peace is conveyed to you and you can rest in that peace. Dee, I don't know. I've never had a son caught in addiction, or even one caught in a hospital for a few days recovering from a surgery. But my prayer for you is that with everything going on and all the uncertainty and all the grief that the past has been, that somehow in the midst of that, this reality, God is with you, and by extension with Nick, continues to be the heart of the message of Christmas for you too. That's where the peace that Christ speaks about, the peace I leave with you, I give to you freely. And it's not like the world's gift. You don't have to somehow attain it. You don't have to have everything be right in your life. Anyone here have everything in their life right? I saw a hand move, but I know that wasn't a hand going up. And so if we had to wait for everything in our life to be right before we could somehow rest in peace, that's a terrible saying, isn't it? It does kind of point us in a whole other direction. But I guess that's when we get to rest in peace, isn't it? Yeah, I guess that would be it. Because all of us who are still breathing have got stuff. And there will become a day when we won't have that stuff anymore. Hallelujah. Yes, okay. But in the meantime, we are living in the midst of this stuff. And so the kind of peace that the world offers is always going to be transitory. It's always going to be just momentary. It's always going to be just elusive. There for a moment and then gone again. But this peace which Christ talks about that he wants to extend to us is rooted in something that is not going to be washed away by the waves of things that happen to us, things that will or things that could. But it is a peace that we can hold on to because it is God's gift to us here at Christmas. Therefore, one can have peace even in the midst of the storm. One can deal with the overwhelming tragedies that are still going on in their life and can say, it is well with my soul, even yet. That we can have confidence that it's there. I love this quote, and I don't know who wrote it. Some guy named Anonymous. He's really brilliant. He says all kinds of good things. The peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble. And again, that's the kind the world gives. But it is the confidence that he is there with you always. There is something really profound in that saying, that there is something there that we can hold on to. It is not that peace is getting rid of our problems, but that sometimes it is coming to terms with those problems, recognizing God is by our side, is where we find that peace. Again, we want to expel all problems, but that's not the world we live in. It's not the life that we are given. And yet, in the midst of this life, God gives this gift of peace that says, it's all right in that I am with you always. I was reading this week in preparation, and I came across a study done by the Duke University, and it talked about peace of mind. And so I thought this was interesting because it's coming from a secular position, but it offered some good ideas for us about having to retain this peace, even if they're not completely understanding what kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. They still offered some good suggestions. The first one was this, is that they found these factors greatly contribute to emotional and mental stability. Anyone looking for a little bit of mental and emotional stability? Yeah, me too. And so, so I read this and I said, okay, there's some good suggestions here. Let's see, what did Duke University come up with? First one they said was no grudge bearing. Let me let that one sink in. Okay? Why? Because this is going to steal our mental and emotional stability. They said the absence of suspicion and resentment are markers of mental and emotional stability, not instability. And this is a major factor in unhappiness. Number two, they said not living in the past. There's an unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes or past failures that often leads to a sense of discouragement and even depression. Not wasting time or energy fighting conditions that you cannot change. How about that? Anyone do this? The Duke folks suggested to cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. I think if they were coming from a Jesus perspective, they would say cooperate with life, realize and be aware that Christ is with you in the midst of that life. You don't have to fight it. Christ is by your side. 4, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Hear this. Anyone here feel you've got a raw deal going? Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. And again, the God is with us part begins to shape this and color this in a new way for us as well. Duke suggested that you cultivate old-fashioned virtues. This was interesting to me. They said love, humor, compassion, and loyalty, because those are all going to build a sense of mental and emotional stability. And finally, they said, do not expect too much of yourself. I love that. You're not going to be able to do it, so hey there, just accept it for what it is. Don't expect too much of yourself, for there is too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet those goals. How did they know me? Because when you do that, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. And again, if we take this in this Jesus context, the gift that he gives to us is the constant realization that he is with us. Then we don't have to do it on our own, do we? You see how that simple truth that the video spoke to gives all of these, which are all good advice, that makes them all doable now. And that this sense of peace in the midst of the storm is now possible for us, no matter how horrific the storm may be raging. And storms can rage. Again, what Jesus seems to want to bring to us is this idea that because he has come, because this gift has been made, it is now up to us to receive and to live in this new awareness, to begin to take all the stuff of life, and rather than try to stuff it away or somehow ignore it, we can now deal with it because he is with us through it. That the griefs that we bear, those whom we've lost, the challenges that we face, the dreams that have been shattered, all of that with Christ in our midst can begin to give us a new sense of strength and purpose, but more than anything can give us peace in the midst of it. Finally, this, the last thing I want to do is point to the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul wrote this in chapter 3. He said, this would be for all of us, let the peace of Christ rule. Rule in your hearts as members of one body. Guess what you were called to? I know that was a trick answer, being the same word. Didn't expect I was going to do that, did you? But I didn't expect Paul was going to do that. He says that's what our call is. That's what our invitation is. Our invitation is not to live in the midst of chaos, lost because of the chaos, but our invitation is to live this life that sometimes is very chaotic, but in the midst of that chaos to live with this thing called peace, a realization of what God has done and that God continues to hold us as we move forward. It is that peace that enables us to face the storm and still say, it is well. So for all of us who have storms raging in our lives, this is your invitation today. We're going to conclude today with our final song. Our final song is It Is Well. It's not especially a Christmassy song, but it touches on this reality that no matter what may be, because he is with us, it is well. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your grace to us, for this reminder of your presence here in our midst. Help us not be just a momentary reminder that we feel and we move then away from, but that we would hold on to that, allow your presence to do its work in the midst of our lives throughout this week and into this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.